Let's stand together as we continue to sing this together. So, you know the lyrics to the song.
Roaring, the
beautiful name.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name.
We're going to be reflecting through a series of meditations. Next week, Doug's going to be preaching. He's going to be going through a little bit of the historical narrative of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why I wanted to look at something a little different. Writings that were written a little bit later as teachers, as Paul in particular, reflected on what had happened with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're going to focus our attention on two things primarily. One of them pertains to us, and one of them pertains to Christ. And I pray, it's our hope and our prayer, that both of these would lead you in worship today as you reflect and think on these things. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Colossians chapter 1. If you don't have your Bibles, there's some in the pew in front of you. And if you don't know where Colossians 1 is, you can ask the person next to you and say, "Where is that?" And they will be very happy to help you. Colossians chapter 1. This is a letter written by Paul. He was an apostle, an early teacher. He's writing to a church that he had never visited, but a church that he had heard of. And so he was writing to encourage them, to teach them, to help them to grow. And he begins his letter with a reminder, and that's where we're going to be looking. We won't start at the very beginning. We're going to start in at verse 9. I know you just sat down, but let's stand up as we read these words. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. "And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." The word of our Lord. Please be seated. It's such a beautiful prayer that Paul prays as he writes to believers. And I believe you could take these as his prayer for all believers who would come after. He prays that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That as we go through our days, that we would be filled with his knowledge, with the knowledge of who God is, knowledge of what God's done. And that we would be empowered to live our daily decisions, whatever it is that we're doing, and live in a way that's worthy of the Lord. That we would live our lives not that we should somehow prove ourselves to be worthy of God's love, but that we would live our lives in such a way that reflects who God is and what he has done for us. We live our lives in a way that's fully pleasing to him. We live our lives in such a way that we would be bearing fruit, which is a Christianese, if you like, for experiencing growth personally, but also providing a culture and environment where the kingdom of God moves forward in our world.
Apparently, I wasn't being heard. From the top. I'm just kidding. I don't want anybody running out. Continuing on in the text, we're being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Just reflect on that a little bit. It's not that you would be empowered. You know, you might think about, well, I hope that you can, I could wish you well this week in your studies, that you would be properly wise according to what you have studied. Like right away you're thinking, oh man, I don't know if I studied enough. Or that you would somehow go through this week in the love that stems from your heart. Right away you're like, oh man, I know my own heart. I'm just not always that loving. Especially when you get behind the wheel, I know. But it says here that he prays that you would be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. We live in a culture where that is merit-based. You receive respect and you receive wealth and you receive views on your videos that you put online and likes on your posts according to the merit that you have earned, who you are, what you have accomplished. This has nothing to do with what you've accomplished. This has everything to do with God. Paul prays that you would be filled with the knowledge of who he is and what he's done, and that you would be equipped and empowered according to God and his glorious might and what he has done. Continuing on, I'm getting to the verse that I want to speak about, that we would, with all endurance and patience, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Again, we see the same thing. It's not, you are not qualified to receive any blessings from God based on our merit, but we have been qualified by God. You have been qualified because of God's deep love for you. And you may be sitting here today thinking, I don't deserve that love, and yet it comes. You may be sitting here thinking, oh no, Stephen, you don't really know what I think in my head. And yet, he loves you. Because it's not something that you've qualified or something that you've earned. And not only do you receive his love, but he says here that he has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. At the very least, you've got to be able to see. He's talking about special people when he talks about the saints. These are obviously, even in our culture today, we know, we understand the picture of a saint. Someone who's able to do it well, so to speak, at the very least, to live well. You say the very best of them, and what they're going to inherit, this is your inheritance. Though you may stumble, though you may feel weak, though you may feel broken or that you're coming apart, he qualifies you to receive that inheritance. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We are qualified. We are delivered. We are transferred. We have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And you may be at a place where you feel like, well, how can I know that's true? I look at this world around me and I look at my own experiences and I can say, you know, it just doesn't feel like that's the way it is. I can feel my own heart in me and I, you know, that just doesn't seem like it's true for me. How can I know that that's true? How can I know that I have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light when I feel so much darkness in me? And I see so much darkness around me. Imagine a scenario. Imagine a scenario where you weren't able to pay your utility bills. And so your power gets shut off. It's quite a process in Canada. And your power gets shut off, and you have a friend over. You don't make tea for them because you can't cook it. And your friend comes in, and they ask, like, well, why is your power off? They say, well, I wasn't able to pay the bill. I'm behind in my payments. Several months it would be before your power gets shut off. And your friend goes, well, you know what? I want to help you out. If I have enough money, I want to pay your bill. I want to pay the debt that you owe. And, I mean, what can you say? That's a tremendous gift. You're in need. is something you can't do. And someone comes and says, I'm going to do this for you. They leave. How do you know that they had enough to pay the bill? How do you know that they were able to do it? The lights come back on. The lights come back on. Jesus Christ said that he would make a way of redemption, that he would defeat our greatest enemy, death, that he would transfer us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And how do we know? He's risen. He defeated death. He is risen. And so no matter what my feelings may be and what the world may look around me, I look at these words and I can say, these are true because Christ has risen. And because he's risen, these words are true. One more word I want to point out. I think I'm going over my time limit here. No. He has delivered us. He has qualified us. He has transferred us from the kingdom of his beloved Son. We have redemption for the forgiveness of our sins. Something new has begun. Everything has changed. Everything changed for humanity at the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we miss it. We kind of go through this season every year. We go through Christmas every year. And we're just so steeped in our world and in our own thoughts that sometimes we fail to allow the truth of the scripture to break through our shells of our minds and our experience and reveal the truth of what Christ has done. And so as we continue to sing, meditate on these words. Meditate on the words as we sing. Let your heart, let your mind, let your soul be transformed.
Can we stand and sing this song? Jesus did. He paid it all. Steve just said, we don't have to try to work for it. So let's sing these lyrics.
Jesus paid it all.
has paid it all to him I owe. Our sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Our sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Sing, he washed. He washed it white as snow. Yes, he washed. He washed it white as snow. Aren't you thankful for that, church? Amen. Yes. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you.
Please be seated. I'm not a historian, but about 44 BC, a significant event happened. Somebody's thinking it. The assassination of Julius Caesar. He was the ruler of the Roman Empire, the biggest empire at the time, and his assassination brought about a series, a decades-long season of conflict and war in an effort to fill in the gap that was created by his parting. As they fought, people fought. Eventually, it came down to his adopted son, Octavian, and Mark Antony and Cleopatra teamed up. It came down to the two of them, one final decisive battle at sea, and Octavian was the winner. He named himself Caesar Augustus, and he became the ruler then, bringing an end to decades of civil war. And as he won, the good news, the evangelion, the gospel, was spread throughout the empire that Caesar had won, that Augustus had won, that there had been a great victory. I'm going to read to you an inscription. It's found on a government building in Turkey, now modern-day Turkey. It dates back to about 6 BC. It said more or less this, it's translated. The most divine Caesar, we should consider equal to the beginning of all things. For when everything was falling into disorder and tending toward dissolution, he restored it once more and gave the whole world a new aura. Caesar, the common good fortune of all, the beginning of life and vitality, all the cities unanimously adopt the birthday of the divine Caesar as the new beginning of the year. Whereas the providence, which has regulated our whole existence, has brought about our life to the climax of perfection in giving to us the Emperor Augustus, who being sent to us and our descendants as Savior, has put an end to war and has set all things in order. And whereas, having become God manifest, Caesar has fulfilled all the hopes of earlier times. Caesar, the good news that Caesar was God, that Caesar was Lord, that he was Savior. He was also called the Son of God because Julius Caesar was also seen as a god. And it's in this context that Jesus Christ comes. Jesus, whom we now call King Jesus. And yet, we never saw Jesus win any major fights at sea. He had no great big army. But as we turn again to Colossians, and I would ask you to stand again as I read this. Colossians chapter 1, listen to these words. Colossians 1, starting in verse 15, speaking of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. The word of our Lord. Please be seated. Here you hear another proclamation that echoes the proclamation, the good news that went out about Caesar. Here comes another gospel about another king and about his great victory. This king was the originator of all things. This king was the sustainer of all things. This king was preeminent. He was before all things. And yet, as we look at and reflect on this king, the only time we see him in a crown is when he's wearing a crown of thorns. And the only time we see him in a royal robe is when the soldiers put it on him to mock him and then beat him and whip him. And the only time we see him sitting under any kind of a placard that said, King of the Jews, was when he was hung on the cross and they put it above his head. This mighty king comes down to earth and serves. And in serving, served all the way to the cross. This mighty king, who's worthy of all worship and praise, instead comes and serves us, humanity, making a way that we could be set free from the bondage of sin, making a way that we could be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, making a way that we could be qualified to be part of this great inheritance that is to all who love and worship Christ. What a mighty king. And all this happened after the cross. If you still have your Bibles and you turn back two pages. Philippians chapter 2 says this, starting in verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Why? Why should I do that? Here it comes. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Which I think underneath this is saying, this is too hard for you to do fully. But you can have this mind, which is in you in Christ Jesus. You look to him and trust in him. Have this mind. Who, though he was in the very form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Though he was part of the Trinity, he was willing to humble himself. Though he had been always with God, he was willing to subvert, to lay down his life, to serve. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, a cursed way to die. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But how do we know? Because we look around at this world and say, there's so much brokenness. Again, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It says in the Colossian passages, he is the beginning. And it's not just talking about the beginning of all things. It does teach us in John 1 that Jesus was there at the beginning. That he's the creator of all things. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. It's talking about that. But if you continue in the verse, it says, he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He's the first to rise again in a new creation. There is a new creation. And we know that it's true because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He's the beginning of a new creation. And just like in the case of Caesar, when he finally won that battle against Mark Antony, there still would have been pockets of resistance throughout the empire. other battles to be fought in kind of a mopping up process and establishing firmly his reign. But all of his enemies would be defeated because the greatest enemy had been defeated. The head had been cut off, so to speak. And anybody who maybe had allegiances to Antony or any other leader was given an opportunity as that good news, so to speak, of Caesar's reign now taking over, now was the time for them to shift their allegiance, to get their own house in order and say, Caesar is king. I need to yield to him. In the same way, Jesus Christ is Lord, and he rules over all things. New creation has begun. There will be a restoring of all things. He is coming again. And all these things we know to be true because Jesus Christ died and he rose again. And so we know his word is truth. This pertains to who we are. As I've talked about, we have been delivered. We're being transformed. We're redeemed. We've been qualified. We're also part of this new creation. God's Spirit within us, renewing us, transforming us, until that one day when he comes again and we'll receive new bodies, restored bodies, and we'll live in a beautiful place with him. And all the wrongs will be undone. There will be a judgment against evil and wrongdoing. When you look at the news and you see the evil in this world, there is coming a day when it will end. When our King comes in his full glory once again. This is hope, but this is also truth. Because every day I can live my life knowing I live and I serve a King. And it can look like there's all these people who have great power and control in this world, but they have no power compared to my God. Jesus Christ rules today. And so we can look to him, and we can trust him, and we can yield to him, know his presence through our days.
Church, with that, let's stand and sing King of Kings that he is as we worship him.
From heaven you came running, there was mercy.
sing this out. All hail the power.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall and bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord.
God, that you are the King of kings. You are the exalted and risen Savior who has redeemed and bought us back, not because of good works that anyone should boast, but because of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why we put you on the throne of our lives this morning. And we say again that you are our God. You are the risen Lord. You are our King. Jesus Christ is Lord. It's the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. Take a seat. Thank you. Amen. Yes. Give the Lord a hand. He's worthy.
When we don't really have kind of a framework for the language of king and kingship. We kind of have to go back to the medieval era, kind of reflecting back on these kinds of things to kind of understand what it means to have a king. I think maybe closer in our culture is you might have a coach. Imagine yourself hiring a coach to help you achieve your goals. Maybe it's to run a marathon. Maybe it's to lose some weight. Maybe it's to become healthy or strong, something like that. Maybe you want to be part of the Olympics. And so you set out these goals that you want to do. And then you allow this person to enter into your life and tell you what to do. And it becomes uncomfortable. You know, at times, I want to get out and I want to run and I'm going to work out in the gym. But you know, it probably feels really right sometimes to get up in the morning and eat a bowl of ice cream. But your coach is going to say, don't do that. And it might feel really right sometimes just to sleep in. Catch a few extra minutes of sleep and your coach is going to say, nope, don't do that. The reality is, Christ doesn't just come to help you achieve your goals, though, not like a coach. He comes in a completely different position, that of king. And if he isn't changing your life, if he isn't causing you inconvenience, then there's a good chance he's not ruling as your king. Because the reality for all of us is that we have our own dreams and our own ambitions, like that ice cream in the morning. Things that we want, things that we feel are right. But then we're confronted by Christ, who he is and what he says. And we realize this life is not our own. This life's not about me. This life's about him and bringing glory to his name. It's when we begin to live our lives with that kind of yielding to him, that kind of faith and trust in him, that we begin to walk a life that bears fruit. We begin to see the fruit of the Spirit growing in our life: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We begin to look more like Jesus. We become useful in his kingdom work. It's when we begin to live in this kind of a yielding that even greater, we get to know the presence of God in our life. That we get to see him answer prayers. We get to see him direct us. And as is Abby's testimony, we get to see him in the lives of people around us. We get to experience his transforming work. When we yield to him as our king, we're going to take time today, not just to celebrate as we have, not just to hear words, but to respond. On your pew, there's some post-it notes. I can see it's kind of stuck on the end of the pew there. You'll have to pass them down, or maybe they're in the pew in front of you. We're going to have some time in a little while to use those post-it notes as a means of responding. Not right now. And what I want you to do is think about two things. And I want you to respond. What can you celebrate today? What brings you hope? What are you excited about? Because Jesus Christ has risen again. What's different for you? And it might not even be something that you fully feel right now, but it's something that's true and you're standing on it. That might be a word. It might be a sentence. It's only a post-it note. And then, secondly, so two things. Secondly, what way do I need to yield to my King? Because when we yield to Him, we glorify Him. When we yield to Him, we say, "You are King." With more than just a song, we're saying it with our lives. And our lives declare it to the people around us. You are King. And maybe you've struggled in that. Then write it down as a prayer request. We're going to have some time. We've set aside time in the service where you could fill that out. And as you leave, just, you know, we're going to have you just post it on a door on your way out. Post it on the walls on your way out. Anywhere. Post it. We're going to keep them up for weeks. You can read through them even next week as you return. It's so, what God is doing in your life is not just for you. It's for me. And the person next to you. And so when you testify to who He is and what He's done, even as we've heard Abby today, it works in us. God works in us through that word. And so let it be your proclamation. Or maybe it's your prayer request. And somebody's going to read that prayer request and say, "Yeah, I'm not alone. There's a place I need to come to because there's other people like me." So continue as we're going to continue to worship. I'll come up and we're going to set some time, just some quiet time aside. But maybe just begin to ask the Lord as you sing these songs to lead you as you reflect on these things.
Just as the Lord stirs in your heart of what to write this morning on that sticky note, 1 John 1, verse 7 and 9 just says these beautiful words that we can claim as truth from God's word for us today. "For if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness." That's everything you've ever done, anything you've done today already, anything you will ever do. It's just saying, "Yes, Lord, I've sinned in this way. Forgive me." And just asking for His forgiveness. And we are cleansed, as 1 John 1 says, "The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from every sin." So when we confess our sins to God, we are forgiven of our sins and cleansed them by the blood of Jesus. Isn't that a marvelous fact? Isn't that awesome? We're going to sing the song, "Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood." And then you can join us when you're ready.
I was a rich man.
no sting. Life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb.
Come on, church.
Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness to the glorious light.
Y'all stand together.
Please be seated and just take a few moments to write out, consider what it is that God might be leading you in. Maybe, again, it's a celebration you want to declare, or maybe it's a prayer. But take some time now to write that out.
Thank you, God. Yes, we're going to send you out with a song. It's not Easter. In growing up in my church when I was little, I remember people saying, it's not Easter unless you sing Christ the Lord is risen today. I'm like, we can still have Easter without that song because we're still celebrating, but we want to send you out on this today. So let's sing this together as we go out today.
Today, hallelujah.
I close with these words from Philippians once again. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Go this week knowing you're part of a new creation, knowing you've been qualified, that you've been redeemed, that you've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Go this week knowing that Jesus rules and reigns on the throne today, tomorrow, and forever. If none of this has made sense to you, this is the first kind of time you've heard about this, please come talk to me after. If you're at all confused, come talk to me after, or someone else up here at the front. We want to tell you about this real good news. Those who are staying, there's coffee and conversation afterward through these doors. And if you're going to visit somebody who's a shut-in today, maybe couldn't get out to church, please come and take one of these flowers, these plants, sorry. Otherwise, they shall perish. Go and have a blessed week.